At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Now, this is what we will read today, 1 Samuel 28, 1 through 7. We will cover three chapters today. I know that's hard to believe for most of you, because I get stuck on a verse and we can be there forever. But before we read this section, I want to give you real quick, back. I know you're already standing, that's okay, it's not that long. I want you to remember that Saul has been chasing David for 4 years. David has again fled to Gath, and King Achish has allowed him to stay there. He lives there for 16 months, and he's been given the city of Ziklag. All right? That's sort of a quick synopsis that brings us where we are here in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. Look at that, I even had that up there. Anyway. Now it came about in those days that the Philistines gathered their armed camps for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Now assuredly, that you will go out with me in the camp, you and your men." David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." So Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." Verse 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel lamented him and buried him at Ramah, his own city, and Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. So the Philistines gathered together and came and camped at Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they camped at Gilboa. Then Saul saw the camp of the Philistines. He was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. Then Saul inquired of the Lord, and the Lord did not answer him, either by dream, or by Urim, or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servant, "Seek me a woman who is a medium, so that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "Behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. You may be seated." Now, if you've ever seen a movie or read a book, they give you a piece of the story, they jump to another section, and then they jump to the meanwhile. While this was going on, we're going to do that today. So as we begin to read this in verses 1 and 2, we simply get that David's been trapped by his lies. He's been telling Achish, when he does these raids on these various groups, that he's been raiding Israeli cities. But he hasn't. So he tells him he's been raiding Israeli cities, and he wants to make sure he takes no prisoners, because then prisoners could say who he's really attacking. So not is he only lying, he's covering his lie. And it implies, therefore, those 400 to 600 men that are with him are covering for him as well. But that lie now comes to roost when Achish says, since you've been attacking Israel anyway, why don't you join me as we all attack Israel? And David says that he's going to do it. And Achish says, "Good, you're my bodyguard for life." And then all of a sudden we have a jump. Samuel was dead. That's what it jumps to in this as we read today. And it said because Samuel was dead, and Saul got rid of all the medium and spiritist. Okay, we'll explain that in a second. All right. So what he's saying, why would he tell us that? Okay, so when Samuel's alive, you would go to the prophet of God, and he would speak just like David did before. Should I attack here? Should I go there? You would seek Samuel. Samuel would speak that, or the ephod would be another way. That's the Urim and the Purim that you've talked about before. All right? So, but Saul's only doing what Scripture already said. God already forbade these kind of people in the Old Testament. So a medium's more of a necromancer. Anybody know what a necromancer is? That's just another word you don't understand. To communicate somehow with the dead, or pretends to. And then a spiritist in this case would be more of a fortune teller, psychic friends network, you know. The Lord had banned all these. Saul had supposedly got rid of them all, right? But the problem is that apparently his guys knew where one was right away, right? He asked, well, I've got rid of them all. It says he got rid of them all. Samuel's like, I talked to God. God didn't say anything back. Okay, right there. That's a key verse. That is a key verse. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer. By dreams, by Urim, that means that he would have went to the tabernacle where the priest had the ephod. Or by prophets, which would tell me there was false prophets in Israel at the time, because Samuel was the only real one, and he's now dead. All right, so we find out that Saul, the reason God's not answering him is because he's already sinned too much, if you will, and God's lifted his anointing off to David. What I find interesting, he goes to somebody for divination, but yet when he disobeyed God, Samuel said to him, or God said to him through Samuel, for the sin of divination is rebellion. And what does he go do? He looks for divination. I just find that intriguing, but as that famous passage that we read before and in 15, that to obey is better than sacrifice or greater than sacrifice, depends on which version you're in. And Saul often did like we like to do. We disobey and then we think we can make it up by putting more in the offering, by doing more nice things, by volunteering to clean the bathrooms, or whatever we think is going to earn us back because we disobeyed. And we all know that Saul did not really have a heart of repentance. How do we know that? Because he repented at least once to Samuel, twice to David, and still chased him. Repentance means change, not just feeling sorry. Okay? Saul rejected God's word to begin with, and at this point, when he's chasing David, is still rejecting God's word. Now, in the middle of all this, now he wants God's help. I'm glad we never do that. We've buried ourselves in debt, and then we ask God to get us out. We've been lazy at school, and now here it is, test time, we ask for God for a miracle on the exam. We're not much different, okay? Saul really didn't care about obeying God. He thought since he was Jewish and king, that's all he needed. But he was wrong. So he goes to this medium, and I'm calling it that because that's what we would say today. He goes to this medium, and I find it interesting. Again, immediately his servants knew that there was, wait a minute. If he got rid of the mediums, who would have did that? He would have went to his servants and says, get rid of these people, right? But these people apparently didn't get rid of them because there's one indoors way up north from where they are when they're chasing Saul, or David, all right? And he disguised himself. Why do you think he did that? Because when you know you're sinning, you love to hide it. If you don't want anybody to see what's on your phone, I suggest. If you don't want anybody to check your internet history, your texts, your tweets, just maybe you're disguising for a reason. But so Saul's disguised himself, and he goes to this medium and says, I want you to conjure up somebody for me. Who do you want? This is Samuel. Now notice this, though. It says that the woman saw Samuel. Too many people think Saul saw Samuel. Say that real fast, okay? Saul saw Samuel. But it's not. Matter of fact, where we get where they get the idea that she was a medium, is the word as basic as an empty liquid container. And it meant the idea like of a ventriloquist. You ever done that? Speak into a jar or something, you get a different sound? That's the root word where the word for the medium comes from, the Hebrew. This idea of pretending to have a different voice. So this, I call it aberration or whatever, is this woman, in a way, I think we understand what we mean by channeling. It's the only word I can think of today that might be possible that we understand. Okay, Samuel. Nowhere in Scripture, in this story, does it say that Saul or the other two men with him saw Samuel. And this voice, this person, this thing speaking through the woman completely ignores Saul's question, should I go do battle? And instead gives him a spanking. You've already been a disobedient. Your kingdom's taken from you. Yada, yada, exactly what God said. Then it must have been God, right? First of all, the woman, the person who spoke through the woman couldn't have been Saul. Because then God would have been breaking his own law. No necromancers, no spiritists, sorcerers, witchcraft, none of that stuff. But then if God, I know God can use whatever he wants, but God's not going to break his own law. Whatever it was demonic. Now this is going to mess with some people. You go on light right now and you can find people all day long say, no, it is for sin. God brought Samuel back. The only time we see people again is on the Mount of Transfiguration, and neither one of the guys died, Moses, but an angel took his body. Remember that? And Elijah, who went up in the chariot, he did not die. Okay? Look at that right out of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. In other words, he looks good. And he's usually on TBN. Oh, no, never mind. Oh, no. So, it is no great thing. Did you catch that? This is no great thing. When his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their destiny will be according to their works. Anybody can tell me what is in Acts 15? Up until Acts 15, that Silas and or Barnabas and Paul. After Acts 15, it's Paul and Barnabas. If you recall, I forget what city they're in, but there's this woman following them around. Hey, these guys are the servants of God. They're preaching truth. Is that true? Yes, that is true. After a few days, Paul turns around and looks at the girl who was a fortune teller. Do you remember this story, anybody? And he cast a demon out of her. And the owner and the people get upset because their fortune teller just lost their fortune telling power. But we know Satan can't tell the future. But he sure knows humanity. So here we have in the New Testament the story of a demonic spirit proclaiming truth. Do you catch that? So I want you to understand, it's not impossible for this to happen this way. If that was God bringing literally Samuel from heaven back to earth through a necromancer, all right? Now, you can disagree with me if you want to, that's fine, but just show me Scripture. That's all I ask. All right? So, we'll keep moving. But what is interesting is when Saul is there with these people, he falls on the ground about this word, and it says that he was also, there was no strength in him, Saul. He had eaten no food all day and all night. Some scholars say he would think he was fasting, thinking that would make God answer him or something. I can't, you know, that's conjecture. I couldn't say for sure. But look who feeds him. The woman, and the woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she quickly slaughtered it and took flour, kneaded it, baked unleavened bread from it. And she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. And when they rose and they went out that night. Be careful who feeds you. Be careful who feeds you. See, we think we can go before the things of the world and find answers. You will find the answers in one place, folks. It's in God's written word. That's where you'll find. I don't care if it's marriage. I don't care if it's finances. I don't care if it's about buying a new car. Well, where's that in there? Oh, just give me a moment. We'll take care of that. Should I marry him? We can go to the Bible about that one. Well, I don't understand. I mean, he's LDS. I love him. Oh, come on. Somebody out there awake? The answer's found in the Word of God. Yeah, but I think and I feel and I want to and it should be. Look at the circumstances. I hate that. Look at the circumstances. No, look at the Word of God. This is why I want to say that that can't be God bringing Samuel up from the dead, because then God has to counteract his own word. That's my problem with that. It wasn't a resurrection. It would have just been an aberration of... Anyway, the Word of God is where you go. But he allowed this woman to feed her. And I think I was talking to my daughter the other night. As I was tucking her in, we began talking about this idea. And people, are they Christians, are they not? And anyway, but we began to talk about an analogy I've given for years. You have twins. One exercises and eats healthy. The other one eats Twinkies, donuts, and Cheetos. Right? And the couple burglar comes in the house. Which one's going to be able to repel the burglar? Which one's going to get sick? All right? What you feed becomes stronger. Now, I'm going to be honest. You don't have to feed your flesh. All you have to do is walk outside. Now, and I'm going to be somewhat vague here because of the mixed audience. Back in the day, if you went into a department store, those sensitive clothing items were at the back. And I will mention it. You can walk into JCPenney's in the mall, and it's dead center. Then, God forbid, you go to the center of the mall. They got pictures the size of that wall. Trust me. You do not have to work at feeding your flesh. You can go to work and just listen to the people around you. You can watch the news. You can listen to the radio. You do not have to feed your flesh. You will get the Cheetos, the Ding Dongs, and the Twinkies automatically. You have to work at feeding the Spirit. It's not going to come from the media. It's not going to come from our work. You can't expect it there. They're not godly people. You can't. What do you expect from sinners? Right? You have to feed. Oh, and you'll see. I'll show it to you. You have to feed yourself. And you know, you've heard me say it before, when people come visit us and I ask them why they're coming over here, and they say, Church A, I wasn't being fed. My elders has corrected me on this. And I used to say, yeah, adults feed themselves though. And my elders said, please stop saying that. Okay? But that's true. I got grandkids. If you ever had a baby, yeah, babies feed. Read, we're in the middle of 1 Corinthians. And Paul talks about this milk, right? You should be eating solid food. But you got to feed. Be careful where you feed. He went looking for answers. Next thing you know, he was eating there. Careful where you go for your answer. He who has your ear has your heart. I've written that in my life lessons journal. Now we get to the meanwhile. It tells us this, starts with this. David has now been called out on his lies, if you will. He's called out to go fight Israel. All right? Jumps to the story of Saul. And so now we get to the meanwhile. Achish has invited him to come fight, but his generals go, yeah, I don't think so. Remember this guy? He was the guy. Saul killed his thousands, David killed his tenth. You know, this is the perfect chance. I mean, the battlefield, he can make himself up to Saul. We don't want him. So Achish says, man, I'm sorry, dude, but I got to send you away. Matter of fact, do it right away. And it says, first thing in the morning, he leaves. We're now in chapter 30. Okay, he returns to Ziklag. That's the city he's been given. While he's gone, he's attacked by the Amalekites. The city was attacked by the Amalekites. All their children and their wives have been taken away. Why are the Amalekites significant? Samuel chapter 15. Those are the people that God told Saul to kill all of them. Yeah, it also comes up in the book of Esther. So this is the one you were supposed to kill all of. So while David's having to cover for his lie, the sin of Saul even comes back. Both in David's case, his lies, that's why he was gone. Saul's case, his disobedience, always cost those around you. Young people, listen to me. When you do stupid, don't say this, well, it doesn't hurt anybody else. That's a falsehood you've been told by the world. Your sins will affect those around you. And all the young people said, yes. In this case, here's David. He's having to cover for his lies. And while he's gone, his whole family and the men that are with him, all their families have been taken captive. First part of verse 30, or verse 6 out of chapter 30. And David was greatly distressed. I think that might be an understatement. Greatly distressed. Anybody know, what's it say in the King James? Anybody have something different there? Have King James? That's NASB there. David was greatly distressed for the speak people. Who people? His people. The only ones around is his 600 men. That's all that's left. Spoke of stoning him. You know you're having a bad day when your friends want to kill you. I told you, David, doing this fake alliance going to get us in trouble. Now somebody's hauled off my wife and kids. You can take my stuff, but touch my wife and kids, you in trouble. They're talking about stoning him because the people were bitter in soul. Why? Each for his sons and his, I don't know why it doesn't say wives, but his, their sons and daughters. These guys are bitter and upset. David's lies have come back to haunt him, and even his good friends, those guys that came to him at the cave of Adullam, the misfits, these guys that come, all of them now want to kill him. Wow. Now Saul, when Saul finds out there's an enemy coming against him, he goes to God, but God don't answer him because he's living in sin. And then he goes to a medium. I want to look at what David does. I hope I got it. Okay, what do you do when you've sinned and everything goes wrong? They take you in for picture and prints. Oh, some people know what I'm talking about there. When you've been handed the pink slip because you've been lying to the boss, now you got to go home and tell your wife you no longer have a job. I don't know if she wants to stone you, strangle you maybe, especially if she finds out the reason you're losing that job is because of your behavior. But usually we don't do that. We come home and make it sound like it's the boss, but that's another story. Look at this. But David strengthened, let me put it in, he fed himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Not just in the Lord, that's Jehovah, the Tetragrammaton, but his God. How do you do that? You know what? You don't do that for the first time when everybody's surrounding you to stone you. As we went through the story, we've talked about the Psalms David wrote at different stages. Yeah, David did what came natural. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, he restores. Can you strengthen yourself in the Lord when you're all alone? when there ain't anybody on your side, excuse me, when there isn't anybody on your side, my wife would have corrected my English there, when there isn't anybody on your side, when everything around you's gone crazy, can you strengthen yourself in the Lord? I'm going to suggest to you, unless you turn to learn to worship, you won't be able to do that. Unless you learn the Word of God, you won't be able to do that. One of the parts of worship is praise. That's thanking God for what He's done. But then there's that worship part, just honoring God for who He is. If I ask you right now to give me a list of five things to tell me where you can honor God for who He is, could you do it? Could you kick out a few verses? It doesn't have to be verbatim, maybe, you know, that you know that you can rely on in that moment when they say you have cancer. Can you do that? Or do you sit in the house, nobody's come to visit me. Nobody, because you know I've been out of work 3 months now and the church hasn't chipped in at all to help me out. Can you encourage yourself in the Lord? I was laying, I'd been, you know, all know I had my back surgery and I didn't work for 3 years and all that stuff. That's where I learned that lesson. And I think it was God. I really do. Because I have good Christian friends, plenty of them. None of them showed up. My wife was out mowing the lawn. Things that I should have been doing, she was out doing. Nobody was offering. Do I blame them? No, I don't. God was teaching me this. Listen, boy, when it's just me and you, can you do it? When it's just you, and there's God, can you strengthen yourself in your God? Young people, not the God of your parents, your God. Is He your God or is He the God of your parents? Can you give me the scripture? Can you tell me who God is? Can you tell me what He's done for you? Or do you turn and look at mom and dad?
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.